We started talking last week about prioritizing our lives to experience the favor of God. And we want to drill down and continue in that, talking about making worship of God the priority. Amen? Making worship of God the priority. Okay, that little word, the priority, is different than a priority. All right? So we have priorities among priorities, but the priority needs to be worship of God. Even when you're feeling bad. Amen. That is the priority. And so I want to take us this morning to Romans chapter 12 as a starting place. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Very, very familiar passage of scripture that Paul, who is the writer of Romans, is writing to the people of God at the church in Rome. For 11 chapters, Paul has been giving them doctrine, explaining to them the significance of a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. He is explaining to them the importance of the Spirit of God at work in their lives. He has talked about how all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God, and there is no one righteous among human beings, not one. That everybody must yield at the feet of Jesus Christ in order to be in right relationship with God. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So Paul been laying out for the Romans this road into a meaningful life of worship with God. There's a path that you must follow. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only one who is sufficient to pay the debt for your sin. Remember in Romans 6, he said the wages of sin is death. But then he said the gift of God, that's Jesus Christ, is eternal life. And then Paul, when he gets after he finishes with verse chapter 6 in chapter 7, he starts reminding you that even though you have come to Jesus, even though you have come to God through the person of Jesus Christ, there's still going to be some struggle in your life. Because the old man is holding you, talking about, don't go. Come back. We had so much fun together. And you've got to be fighting. Because in chapter 8, he says that the things of the flesh are at war against the things of the spirit. That what you once enjoyed, it's going to be sour to you now. And even though you might enjoy it for a moment, there's going to be a sense of guilt that comes up on you because you will know that you have walked outside of God's will. And the old man is saying, let's have some fun. The new man is saying, your life in Jesus Christ is fun. You've redefined your definition of what fun looks like. So Paul is helping them to understand that this journey that you are now on requires that you make worship of God the priority of your life. Otherwise, the things that pull for your attention will win. Because the prince of this era, which is the devil, is a crafty, smooth-talking, hypnotizing kind of evil old joker who masquerades as an angel of light so as to deceive you and make you think you actually doing the will of God. He says that it is your worship of God that gives you the ability to distinguish good from evil, the voice of God from the voice of the enemy. Amen? You and I have to make worship of God the priority. And when I say worship, I am not just talking about what we did in terms of singing. That is a part of worship, to say that I am going to use my voice to celebrate the bigness of who God is, that I am going to use my voice to talk about the sovereignty and holiness of who God is, that I am going about. That's part of worship. For even in our gathering here today, we use terms like worship in singing, worship in giving, because we're going to ask for your money a little bit later. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Because worship then has many different parts. So we're not just talking about the singing and the praying, those things that we associate with spiritual or religious activity. We're talking about giving up your whole life unto God to say that I belong to you. Amen. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. They read this way. And if you would, read them with me, if you don't mind. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Stay right there. Go back. Go back. Hallelujah. It is right there, right? Right? It is your what? True and proper worship. Now, this is important. We were talking about the singing. We were talking about the reading. We were talking about the praying. But remember in John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking to the woman who was at the well, the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well, and they started talking about worship, Jesus used an expression. He said that now has come the time when people must worship him in spirit and in truth. Which means that as you are opening up your mouth to sing praise, your heart must be aligned with what your mouth is declaring so that your worship is genuine before the Lord. Why? Because God looks beyond the outward appearance and he checks out your heart. You can fool me. You can fool the praise team. You can jump up and down and wave your hands and you can shout hallelujah. And in your heart, you ain't doing nothing but pretending. Amen. But God is saying, I want an outward expression and an internal trust that are in alignment as you present your bodies, all of who you are, right? He said that becomes your true and your proper worship, so that there is alignment in what you say, do, and believe. Amen. Let's read the next verse, and we're gonna come back and do a little bit more with that one. He says, "Do not then, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. So we're talking about making worship of God the priority. As we shared with you last week, one of the reasons I think this becomes so critical for us in January, because at the start of a new year, again, it's the time for us to what? Assess, to verify that our priorities are in the right place, and then to also make any adjustments as directed by the Spirit of God when he reveals that we have some things out of order. So if worship is not at the top of your priority list, you have some things out of order. Amen? Amen. If getting fit and healthy is first on the list, if it is not a bullet item for you offering your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord, it's out of order. Amen. Amen. I got to eat right. Yep. Why? Because I want to do what? Offer my body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. So it's not an activity that's removed from my worship. It is an activity that is a part of my worship that comes as a direct result of my worship, because I'm saying, God, I understand that this body is the body that you gave me to engage this world. And it's the only thing that I got to use in this world in order to express your goodness. And so, God, right now, if I'm going to present to you a body that is worthy of sacrifice, I gotta change some things. Amen? But that comes under making worship of God my priority. Wow, this is important. After this, some folks will start worshiping their diet. If you don't have it in the right order, some folks will start worshiping their diets. Or they will start worshiping their workout routine. If it's out of order, you make that the priority. And you forget about God as you're eating. You forget about God as you're worshiping. Or as you're working out. But in essence, God has got to be the center, even in the middle of that, right? Wow, that just changed the kind of music you listen to when you work out, didn't it? Hallelujah. I want to remind you of a statement that we made last week, because I think it is crucial for us. I said, we are pre-approved in Jesus to receive God's favor. Amen. When we enter into a relationship, when we trust Jesus Christ, all of a sudden now, all that God has available for us, we have access to it. Amen. All of what God has for us is made available through Jesus Christ, because God says that every promise that he has made is yes and amen in Jesus. But in order for us to make sure that we can get to what is available, we again have to make sure that we are aligned with the things that are important to God. So we are making him the most important. We're worshiping him. So if worship is more than just our singing, worship is more than just our reading and praying. As Paul suggests in verse number 1 of Romans chapter 12, he says that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. So he acknowledges that we are alive. And we know what a sacrifice is, right? Not dead sacrifices. He said, I'm not looking for dead sacrifices. I'm looking for living sacrifices. And you remember that sacrifices were given unto God as an act of worship. In the Old Testament, he identified many ways that people were to express to him their commitment to him, and it was through sacrifice. In fact, the first murder recorded in the Bible comes from an act of worship that involved sacrifice. There were those two brothers, Cain and Abel, who had a worship service. One brought from the fat of the animals, the lambs that he had been raising. He brought the first fruit unto God. And when he did that, God accepted Abel's offering as a sincere act of worship. Because he brought it, he took the life of the animal and allowed God then to receive all of it, saying, God, I thank you, Lord, for what you have provided. And this is not more important than my relationship with you. In fact, I want to honor you by giving back to you the first of that which you gave me. And so he sacrifices this animal. His brother Cain, on the other hand, looked within what he had to offer unto the Lord. And he selected a little bit here and a little bit there and brought it and laid it down before the Lord, so as to say, here you go. Almost like, you better be glad I brought you something. For those of you who have not read the story, I just added that. That was Pastor Richard's commentary. Amen. But that was his attitude, as to say, I can choose, I can select what I want to bring to you, to offer to you, and you need to be happy that I brought it. But God teaches us something very important in that exchange between Cain and the one between Abel. And that God says that, no, you misunderstand. I'm the creator, you are the created. I lay down the standard and I do not modify it because you choose to be lazy or unappreciative or just because you show up. Here is the standard that you must meet in order for you to receive my favor. And so he says to Cain, you know the right thing to do. Just do it. And then he warns him that if you choose to worship your stuff over me, sin is crouching at your door and will overtake you, and you're going to be in worse shape then than you are now. But because Cain elevated his own personal opinion, because Cain kind of elevated his own approach and style, saying, I can do things my way, he rejected God's instructions. And he ended up killing his brother. And that was all in the spirit of worship. Kind of crazy, isn't it? And so in order for you and me to receive from God what God has for us, to walk in his favor, we've got to be aligned with what's important to God. Amen? We have to be at that place of saying, God, I'm willing to reprioritize my life, the things that are valuable to me, according to God, what is valuable to you. And when we do that, we present ourselves in such a way as to where God can say, here, what I have for you is made available. Amen. So our job, as we are like, again, at the first of the year, is to set aside some time for honest assessment about where we are. Amen. Can I just tell you, it is not a one-day affair. Don't call yourself setting aside an hour on the first of the year to kind of assess where you are. No. It will not work. You need to make sure that during the course of this month, you are seeking God with an earnest heart, saying, Lord, help me to see if there is anything in my life, any of my practices that are not in alignment with your will, your purpose, and your desire for my life. You have to seek him, because here's what happens. Your heart is going to tell you one thing. But Jeremiah 17 reminds us that our hearts are deceptive, and they will trick us and make us think we are a certain place that we are not. And he says you need to sit before him with his word in the presence of his spirit, and allow him to examine you and show you where you really are, so that you then can walk in obedience by adjusting some things in your life. Amen. Why? I don't know about you, but here is where I am. And I want you to be with me. In 2026, I am wanting to see the hand of God move in people's lives and in their experience. I'm wanting to see the hand of God move in New Joy Fellowship like we have not seen it before. Amen. It's a new year, and the God that I serve don't get old. He don't get stale. His mercies are new every morning, and you and I have only tipped or touched the tip of his favor. I want more. I want more. Oh, okay, I'm by myself. I need to make this plain. I want to see folks who have been suffering in their bodies, I want to see them healed. Amen. I don't want them to go through 2026, a whole nother year, talking about, I couldn't get in to see the doctor. You know the doctor. Jehovah Rapha is my healer. Amen. I am wanting to see people whose minds have not been properly regulated. I want to see them in their right minds. I want to see them making right decisions. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see folks who've been broke. wondering, how am I going to pay this bill? Unable to save because everything I got is going out of the door the moment that I get it. I am wanting to see the favor of God released upon his people in such a way that there is a recognizable distinction and difference between you and the world. I'm wanting to see the power of God move in people's lives in such a way that those who have been caught up in addictions are set free and delivered. Come on, y'all. Don't you want to see God move in that kind of way? You and I come and worship him week after week, come to sing together week after week. We come to pray together week after week. We come to read his word together week after week. You ought to have some expectation because the word that you're reading talks about a God who moves in people's experience and he brings about change in their lives, brings about change in their hearts and in their minds. And if you're like me, I'm just saying, if you want some of those same things for yourself, some of those same things for the people in your life, then you and I need to make sure that we take time to sit before God and allow him to search our hearts, allow him to rearrange stuff that might be out of order so that he then has a place where he can move among his people. We've got to say, God, here I am. You can use me. Lord God, anoint these hands so that when I lay them on somebody, glory to God, when I speak healing in their life, the word of God is supported with power. We need to elevate our expectation of God. God has said to Moses, Moses, I want you to go ahead and lead my people. Go ahead and take them into the next phase of this journey. And Moses said to God, wait a minute. You're telling me to lead these people, but you haven't told me who gonna go with me. Because God was kind of at that place where these folk ain't acting right. Go and take your people, Moses. Take your people. Moses was like, Moses was like, I hear you saying go, but who's going with me? In other words, Moses was saying, God, if you ain't going, I ain't going nowhere. Amen. He was like, if you don't go with us, how will there be a distinction? How will people know that we belong to you if you are not going with us? And I refuse to go into 2026. Not knowing that God is with me. Amen? I ain't talking about guessing. I'm not talking about no wishful thinking. I'm not talking about no positive proclamation. If I say it, it is so. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. I need to know deep down in my knower that the one who created the heavens and the earth is with me. You hear me? I need a divine escort, glory to God, wherever it is that he is sending me. Because I want his presence to go before me. I want his presence on my right and on my left. I want his presence behind me. And what I'm saying to you and me is that we've got to make the adjustments, moving from the normal stuff that we've been doing, those patterns that we've established. And we've got to get to the place of saying, here I am, Lord. I've come to worship you. I've come to serve you. I've come to live for you. And if there's anything in my life that's getting in the way of you having your way, show me, reveal it to me, so that I, God, can be used of you. Lord Jesus, that's serious business, ain't it? Oh, but if you get serious with God, he'll get serious with you. And if you will trust him to be the one to search your heart, he'll show you the stuff that's hiding and lurking there that's preventing you from receiving what God wants to give to you. Amen. Because can I tell you that none of us can, that none of us are what? Can I tell you that? Can I tell you that the moment, you know, some of us, we practice having a quiet time, a devotional time in the morning. We practice spending time in the Word of God, reading and praying in the morning. Have you discovered that while you sometimes there reading and praying, that your enemy shows up trying to study with you? Oh, you, that ain't been your experience? Listen, I'm going to confess. Sometimes I'm reading and receiving in the Word of God, and all of a sudden the enemy comes in and he tries to have a conversation, tries to have his input into my study with the Lord. And I'd be like, did nobody invite you? Dude, I have isolated myself. First lady is being kind and nice. She ain't bothering me and saying, hey, bring me this. Or come do that. Or you know it's time for you to do this. She's like, okay, spend your time. Spend your time. Because I know when you don't spend your time, you a mess. She'd be like, spend your time. And while I'm there trying to spend time with the Lord, the enemy creeps in, making me think about stuff that wasn't nowhere on the docket that day. Where'd that come from? Little stuff that's hidden, that at the appointed time, the enemy tries to go and pull out a drawer and use it to distract you. And what I've learned to do is every time he chooses to pull out a drawer, I take it out and I lay it on the table before the Lord. Well, thank you. And allow God to deal with what's been revealed in my heart that I did not know was there. And so I don't entertain the thought of the enemy. All of that stuff I just said to y'all, where did that come from? No. The first few times, I did that. But no, I started getting to the place of where, you know what? Let me jot that down. God, here this is right before you. You know, I put it in the parking lot. I put it in the parking lot because right here. And if God say, go pick it up, I'll go pick it up and let him begin to deal with it. But the enemy cannot dictate what we gonna do. Amen. He under my foots. Amen. But what you say, I'm the head and not the tail, right? Amen. See, this showed up. You remember when Jesus was baptized, and the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days. Jesus went out to worship and fast. The Bible says that the Spirit took him there to be tempted of the devil. And if you remember, there were three different temptations that came his way. In Matthew chapter 4 is the reference that I'll use for today because it is significant in Jesus' response. So Jesus is fasting and he's hungry. And the tempter comes to him and he makes this statement, if you are, in verse 3, if you are the Son of God, Jesus is hungry. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus has just been baptized. The Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove, saying, this is my Son, whom I love. So he's identified Jesus as his Son, and now Jesus has been led out into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. He is being tempted by the devil. The devil comes and says, if you are the Son of God, do something that I know you are very capable of doing, and turn these stones to become bread. Make them turn to bread. Well, Jesus responded. He said, it is written. Quick footnote, you can't say it is written if you have not read. Amen. That was just a little bit of encouragement to say that when we make worshiping God the priority, a part of our worship is the reading and the studying and the meditating of his word. Amen. Because when the enemy comes your way, you need to be able to say it is written, which means here is what God says about the matter. Okay? Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus was saying, the Lord is my source. He is the source of my strength. He is the source of my direction. Is the source of my life. God can use whatever resource he wants to use, but the Lord is my source. So he tells him, man shall not live by bread alone, not just what you eat, but make sure that you are living on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil said, okay. And then it says he took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said it again, if you are the Son of God. What do you mean if? No, that's, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Oh, wait a minute. The devil say, oh, since we're going to use the word of God. Okay. Since we're going to use the word of God, let me work this thing. I see how you rolling. I see how you rolling. Let me throw this one in on you. So he says, it is written. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your against the stone. And then he said, that came from Psalm 91, Jesus. Yeah. Jesus said, it is also written, not on your God to the test. Wow. So Jesus is saying, yep, you're right. It is written. See, he didn't say, no, that ain't what that say. He said, it is also written. He said that you take and you apply the word properly. You go on to use God. God's word in a way that God didn't intend for his word to be used. And you talking about what I stood on the word. No, you didn't stand on the word. Jesus says, do not put the Lord, your God, to the test. So he's like, no, I am not going to jump down and say, okay, God. No. Not going to do it. In other words, he said, the Lord didn't tell me to jump. That's what Jesus is saying, that the word you just quoted is correct, but the Lord didn't tell me to jump. You are right. He is going to protect me. He is going to hold me. He is going to keep me. But when I move at his command, not when I try to force God's hand. I'm going to do this, God, to see if you're really God. Listen, he is God. You don't have to try to prove. He is proved who he is. Let's look at this last part, because again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Now you do remember why Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem mankind, take back authority from the devil. And all of what the devil is showing him is what he has come for. So the devil says, look, this stuff belongs to me right now. All you need to do is bow down and worship me. That's it. If you just bow down and give me homage, bow down and elevate me to a place of authority and priority in your life, I'll give you what you came for. Now, I like Jesus' response. Oh, I love the other ones, but it's something about this response right here. When Jesus says, boy, if you don't get out of my face. Oh, let me read the scripture, right? It sounds good, right? Yeah. So Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written. Wait, stop. Have you noticed the pattern? As he dealt with the enemy, bringing stuff into his life, each response was, it is written. It was steeped in what God has said. It's almost like Jesus made it a habit of spending time getting to know what God said. I'm talking about him in his humanity, because we know that John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I know that he is in the beginning. I know he is the Word, but in his humanity, it seems like he made it a habit of getting to know God's opinion about everything. And I want to suggest to you that when you start making worship of God the priority of your life, that you are going to try and find out his opinion about everything. Amen. You're seeking him because your allegiance is to him. Your worship is to him. And you want to make sure that whatever you're doing is a reflection of your life surrendered and submitted to him. Jesus says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus said, make worship of the Lord your God the priority of your life. You cannot serve both God and mammon or money. You can't have two gods. In Exodus 20, where God gives the Ten Commandments, what is the first thing he says? Serve only one. Serve him. Serve God and him alone. You shall have, he said, no other God before me. He said, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. He said, you shall not bow to worship them. God says that he is a jealous God and that he wants our full allegiance. And so, brothers and sisters, you and I then are charged with setting down before the Lord and saying, God, are you first? Is my worship first? God, when you examine me, do you find that, God, I am making you first in all things? Have I allowed love for the things of this world to come in and take my allegiance? Or am I fully committed to you? Day by day, am I saying to you, Lord, here I am. I have been crucified. The life that I live, right? I live now to the glory of God. Or God, are there things in my life where I can't present them to you yet? And it is your job and my job over these next few days. We're what? On the 11th day of January, we're in this new year. And I'm saying for you and me, here's the focus. Let's spend some time before God, allowing him to verify, correct where our priorities lie. And at the top of that list, we want it to be that our worship of God is first. Amen. I want to close with this thought so that you can hold on to this. And first, excuse me, in Colossians chapter 1, we read a portion of that during our time of worship earlier. I want to read for you those last few verses of that chapter, verses 18 through 23. Because what we read talked about Jesus having supremacy. Right? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Remember that? For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And look at what it says in verse number 18. And he is the head of the body. That's the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. In other words, Jesus is first, and he needs to be first in your life. Jesus at the center. Amen. Verse number 19 says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. And through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You and I are at peace with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 21 says, there was a time when you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Oh, I love there was a time. That's not who you are now. There was a time when you had no control and whatever your flesh told you to do, that's what you did. It was evil. Amen. It was evil. It was evil. But that was then. This is now. You are no longer enemies with God. Verse 22 says, but now he has reconciled you by what? Christ's physical body through death. Here it is, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Let me pause for just a moment to remind you that when the devil comes to whisper in your ear who you used to be in your evil deeds, the stuff you used to do, you are free from accusation. You are now authorized to do what Jesus told the devil. Away from me, Satan. It is written that I am forgiven, that I have been redeemed, that I have been blood washed in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It never ever loses its power. I'm free. And I don't care how many times he comes back with the same accusation. You need to have your response ready to tell the devil, shut it down. She said, shut it down. She reminded me of that song, shut the door. Keep out the devil. But you are authorized to let him know what has been written about you. Oh, that's right. You've got to know what's been written about you. You've been set free. This scripture tells you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy. You've been made holy in God's sight because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are without blemish in God's sight because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have been set free from accusation. There is now no condemnation against you because you are in Jesus. Verse 23. Now, if you continue in your faith, it means you can't throw in the towel. No matter how hard it gets, don't throw in the towel. Can I use you again? Thank you. She said she had pain that was here, and it was hard to move without feeling it. But she continued to praise. Continue in your faith. She continued to press through. Now, can I just, you already know this. It would have been easy for her to come over to the office and say, Pastor Forney, I just have a really, really bad headache right now. She called her grandma. I'm going to let grandma go ahead and lead worship today. And of course, I would have said, well, that's what the Lord is saying. that's my response. If that's what the Lord is telling you to do, you be obedient to the Lord. Amen. But that's not what she did. She said, I will praise him through the pain and give glory to his name. It says, if you continue in your faith, which means that you don't throw in the towel, because your faith is for you to keep pressing until you receive what God has promised to give you. Amen? He said, established and firm, that your external stuff, what you see, what's going on, does not change the reality of God's word. Amen? You stand firm upon what his word has declared. And then it says, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel that you heard, Paul says, and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So he's saying that your job and my job is to worship God as the priority of our lives. Not just from 11 to 1, but to worship him from the time you rise until the time you lay down. To offer to him your body as a living sacrifice, that you say unto God, here I am to serve you, because I understand that I have been bought with a price. I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, I present to you my hands and my feet. I present to you my eyes and my tongue. I present to you all of who I am, that I might worship you and serve you, so that through me, you might get glory by using something lesser to bring glory to the greater one. That I will offer myself to you for worship, sold out unto you, so that as you rain down, you can have your way in my life. Amen. So again, our job is to do what? Spend some time not making assumptions. And when God reveals that there are areas of your life that are not in alignment with his will or his priorities, do not argue. You can ask for a better description of what you need to do, but don't argue. Don't tell the Lord he don't know what he's talking about. Thank him for showing you what you could not see, and then repent and move in the right direction. Amen? Make the decision. No more. And God knows how hard it's been, right? The thing wouldn't still have you if it wasn't hard, would it? Am I right? If it wasn't hard, it wouldn't still have you. God knows. But here's the good news. He has given you his spirit. And the greater one lives on the inside of you. And he has given you his word. And while you allow his word to work in your life by the power of the spirit as you exercise your faith, what you will discover is that God is a promise keeper, and he will deliver you from stuff that has held you, because there is nothing that can stop the power of the God that you and I serve. But it requires that you and I come before him being honest and desiring his deliverance. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we stand before you and we thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. That he loved us enough to obey you by coming and offering his life as a ransom for us. We thank you that he was perfect and without sin. Therefore, his blood was sufficient to cover over every misdeed, every act of disobedience that we have ever performed. This blood has the power to wash away the stain of sin, to make us whole and holy before you. We thank you, Father, that in him we have all that we need. And we realize that many times we allow the things of this world to take first place in our lives. For that, God, we say we are sorry. We ask that, God, you would forgive us. For you have said that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we want to experience, Lord, your best, Lord, for our lives and, Lord, for those around us, our loved ones. And we want to, Father, make sure that there is nothing that we are doing so we invite you to search us. We invite you to examine us. And then we grant you permission to wash away and to remove the thing that is preventing you from expressing yourself fully in our experience. Will you help us to make worship of you the priority, Lord, of our lives, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. In Jesus' name.